In the name of Jesus. When I look at the political arena in the Old Testament, it's a fairly simple affair to figure out. Except for a couple of imperfect islands of faithfulness, by and large, the kings of God's nation were lousy. They were corrupt. They ignored the will of God, spoken of by the prophets, and they paid the price. And along with the king, his subjects paid the price as well. A fairly simple matter. The only question you wind up asking in the Old Testament is, who's going to clean their clock this time? Will it be the Philistines or the Syrians or Assyrians or Babylonians? A simple affair. But in the New Testament, the political situation gets a lot more complicated. Who can keep track of all of this? It's sort of like trying to keep track of the missionary journeys of Paul. Oh, Paul's over here. Oh, well, now he's over here. Has he been here before? I don't remember. When the Lord Jesus went on trial for our sins, you can see how complicated New Testament politics is. Oh, of all the parties that weren't involved in the trial of our Savior Jesus. And by the time of our Apostle Paul going on trial, as we have in the text here, where Paul stands as a Christ-like figure, as a vanguard of the gospel ministry of the church, if anything, the political situation has even gotten worse, even more complicated. There's the question of venue for the proceedings. My place or yours? Shall we have the trial in Jerusalem? That's where you offended so many people. Or shall we have it in Caesarea, perhaps, which owes its very existence to a political payoff? Or are we going to have to take this thing all the way to Rome itself? Ah, yes, Rome. You know, it was brilliant of Paul to appeal to Caesar in his trial. That way he could get the Jews off of his back. Oh, but perhaps this was somewhat of a tactical error on Paul's part, because it is admitted right here in this chapter that if Paul hadn't appealed to Caesar, his trial was over right here and now. Oh, but maybe it was pretty smart anyway, because this way he could be retained in protective custody, and that would mean that the Jews couldn't get at him because they would surely ambush and kill him, or at least I think that's what they would do. And then what about all these Jewish parties? Who are all these Jewish guys anyway? You got the Pharisees here, and Paul himself was one of them. And then you've got the Sadducees involved in here. They call themselves conservative, and then they deny the existence of angels or even the possibility of resurrection. And then there's the question in all of this, just how representative are these political parties of the Jews, representative of mainstream Judaism at all? And then, of course, the Romans are involved in the trial. And, of course, they're trying to appease both Jew and Gentile all at the same time. And they're represented by the procurators, of course, Felix. Now it's Festus, isn't it? And that's Porcius Festus, that one. And now, how is their authority related to these provincial kings that are floating around? How do they relate to one another? Just who's in charge of this whole affair anyway? And now these provincial kings, they're Herodian kings, are they not? And you have to always ask yourself the question, whose side are they on anyway? Because you see, by way of Idumea and the land of Edom, that this bespeaks a rivalry with the chosen race that goes all the way back to the time that Esau was tricked with a bowl of bean soup. And then in Paul's trial, we see King Agrippa. Oh, and it's Agrippa II. It took me a while to figure that out. And he makes an appearance with Bernice, who apparently is his sister and his wife at the same time. And then there are all these court proceedings. What's going on there? And then they're looking for a precise statement of the charges. And then the question was raised, are these religious charges or secular charges? And if they're purely religious charges, what business of that is that of Festus and Agrippa anyway? Isn't there anything, any sense of a separation of church and state? Now, by the time I'm done looking at this story, I wind up staring blankly at the pages and thinking, oh, please. I have enough trouble right now keeping track who's a vicar and who's a candidate. I have enough trouble figuring out the infield fly rule. Please don't do this to me. And then I see Paul standing up in this trial to give his defense. And he motions with his hand. That must be some kind of a legal gesture. And he gives his defense. I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus alive. Confess your sins. All of you, I don't care what side you're on, confess your sins, because this Jesus is my Savior, and he's your Savior too. We have this book of Moses and the prophets, and they said that Jesus would suffer, that he would die for us, and that he would rise again. My defense? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The reaction in the courtroom, Festus says in effect, you call this a defense? This man is stark raving mad. Didn't anybody tell him about his right to an attorney? The reaction of Agrippa? Why, if I didn't know better, I think this guy's trying to convert me right here in the courtroom. Well, you see, the reaction of Festus and Agrippa, in a sense, is to be expected because, you see, Festus and Agrippa are, as it were, left-handed. Because you see, the kingdom of the left hand operates in the realm of law with all its power plays and edicts and browbeating and coercion. And here in the midst of them is right-handed Paul, who is part of a ministry, a servitude in which the gospel predominates. If I may dare to wax systematic for a moment, I would suggest that the doctrine of the holy ministry is an extension of the doctrine of the gospel itself and is not an implementation of the law. When you in future days are tempted to use power plays and edicts and browbeating and coercion, or we might add to that manipulation and strategizing, think of the minister of the gospel, the Apostle Paul, in this trial. The legal babe in the woods. The man so desperately in need of a dream team, legally speaking. The man who, by the gospel, is making an absolute mockery of this court of law. And then say to the people under your care, hear about the cross. Be washed and be clean. Take and eat. And then know that it is in those very moments that Christ is ruling. Amen.